Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something that can seriously elevate a drum and bass drop, a rewind-worthy AMEM validation sequence inside Ableton Live 12. Not just a loop, not just a riser. We're making a drum-led pre-drop phrase that feels alive, tense, and intentional, like the groove itself is pulling the room toward the drop. This kind of move matters a lot in modern D&B, because the best transitions don't just get louder. They get more convincing. The listener should feel the energy tightening, the space narrowing, and the rhythm starting to speak before the bass fully lands. That's what makes a drop feel inevitable instead of just sudden. So the goal here is to build a 4-bar amen sequence that starts controlled, grows in personality, adds movement and detail, then opens up right before impact. We're going to use the break itself as the main source of tension, rather than relying on a generic synth riser on top of busy drums. That keeps the transition musical and, in a lot of cases, a lot more memorable. First, choose your amen source with intent. Don't just grab the first loop that works. Pick a break with strong transients, a usable snare, and enough top-end detail to survive processing. If the sample needs warping, use Complex Pro when you want to preserve pitch and tone, or try Beats Mode if you're working with a sliced, rhythmic break and want the transients to stay sharp. Get it into a tight 1-bar or 2-bar clip so you can work with it like a performance phrase, rather than a passive loop. Then clean it up a bit. High pass the rumble down around 28 to 40 Hz, and if the break feels boxy, carve a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If the top end is too sharp, ease it back slightly above 8 to 12 kHz. The idea is to keep the attack and swing, but remove anything that clouds the pre-drop energy. In drum and bass, clarity is power. Now split the break into a form you can actually perform with. You can slice it to a MIDI track if you want maximum flexibility, or duplicate the audio clip manually if you prefer a more hands-on editing approach. Either way, build a small slice map, kick, snare, ghost snare, hat or shuffle, fill fragment, and reverse tail. If you're using drum rock, keep your most important hits in easy-to-reach pads. That makes it much faster to trigger variations and audition ideas in real time. For the first 2 bars, keep things restrained. This is your setup phase. Bar 1 should feel like it's holding back a little, with maybe 1 or 2 ghost hits removed. In bar 2, add a small hint of motion, like an extra fill hit before beat 4 or a subtle lead into the next phrase. Keep the backbeat snare strong and trustworthy. That snare is your anchor. Everything else can evolve around it, but that one hit should still feel like the truth of the break. If you're programming the slices in MIDI, don't place everything dead on the grid. Let the ghost notes sit slightly late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds behind the beat. Vary the velocities on the hats and shuffles so they breathe instead of sounding robotic. A bit of groove pull swing can help too, but use it lightly. You want movement, not wobble. The groove should feel alive, but still sharp enough for a densifloor system. Now we move into bar 3, and this is where the phrase starts talking back to itself. This is the variation bar. Start creating call and response between the snare and the fill material. Maybe you cut a kick or hat in the first half of the bar, then answer that space with a snare drag, a flam, or a little sliced roll into the downbeat. A reversed slice leading into a snare hit is a classic move because it creates suction. It feels like the sound is being pulled forward. At this stage, you can start adding some urgency. A little saturator with soft clip can bring out the bite, and drum bus can add some smack if you keep it subtle. Don't crush the life out of the groove. In this style, tension comes from motion and phrasing, not just from making everything louder. If the break starts to feel flat, back off the processing before you push it harder. Now for the riser lane. This is where we avoid the generic build-up cliché. Instead of throwing a standard noise sweep on top, we derive the lift from the break itself and from textures that belong to the same world. Try a reversed cymbal from the break, a high-passed ghost loop, maybe a short noise burst from operator or wavetable, and a touch of echo for atmosphere. You can automate an auto-filter, so the layer opens up gradually, or keep it filtered high and let the resonance climb. Add reverb if you want a bigger sense of space, but keep that mostly on the riser layer so the drum impact stays clean. One especially effective trick is to resample the break variation, reverse thin audio, and layer that underneath the final half bar. That creates a lift that feels like it was born from the track itself. It's more integrated, and in D&B that usually hits harder than a stock effects sweep. As you approach the drop, automate the last bar like it's a phrase climax. Don't think only about the final beat. Think in zones. The first part of the phrase is restrained and dry. Bar 3 adds more ghost notes and a little more saturation. The final half bar gets denser, with shorter ambience and stronger transient focus. Then right before the drop, create a pocket, pull out some bass, cut the delay feedback, or leave a small gap of air. That tiny moment of absence can make the drop feel much bigger than piling on one more fill. That's a key lesson in this style. The final moment before the impact often works best when the arrangement gets smaller, not bigger. If you have a bass riser or reese movement, thin it out right before the drop. Let the drums and the tension do the work. The listener should feel like the energy is coiling, not just stacking. Once the sequence feels good, print it to audio. This is one of those advanced workflow moves that makes a huge difference. Commit the 4-bar phrase to a new audio track and listen to it as a performance, not as a project full of editable parts. Once you've got the print, you can shape it with a gentle glue compressor, a little EQ cleanup, maybe some light drum buffs, and a utility check to make sure the low mid body still behaves in mono. If it starts to feel too flat, don't reach for more compression. Preserve the transient front first, then refine the tone. After that, place the sequence in the arrangement with purpose. This isn't just a drum loop, it's a transition device. You might use it 2 bars before the drop for fast DJ-friendly impact, or 4 bars before the drop if you want a longer tension climb. It can also work as the last pre-drop phrase before a second drop switch-up. A clean setup could look like filtered intro elements, then a bass tease, then the amen variation and riser lane, and finally the full drop. The important thing is that the last pre-drop moment feels like a decision, not an accident. Here's the big idea to keep in mind while you work. Think in phrases, not clips. The strongest amen transitions usually tell a clear 4-bar story. Setup, stir, spike, release. If every bar is equally busy, the ear stops tracking the drama. If the listener can feel the shape of the phrase, the drop becomes much more satisfying. A few things to watch out for. Don't overfill every bar. Leave space for contrast. Don't let the top end get harsh, especially around 6 to 10 kHz. Don't leave sub-energy hanging right into the drop if you want the impact to punch. And don't make the timing too mechanical. Even tiny shifts in ghost notes and fills can completely change the feel. Also, resample early whenever you can. In advanced DNB production, moving to audio often reveals the real groove faster than staying in endless MIDI edit mode. Audio gives you phrase control. It lets you see and feel the transition like a record, not just a grid. If you want to push this even further, try a few advanced variations. Swap the bar order, so the second bar lands where the first repetition would normally go. Shift a few ghost notes off their expected positions. Answer a fill with silence instead of more percussion. Chop the final pickup into a micro stutter. Pitch the last reverse tail up or down a little. Or build one bar from a cleaner amen and the next from a dirtier processed version. Those small changes can make the transition feel custom-built instead of looped. For your practice run, build 3 versions of the same 4-bar sequence. Make one clean and rolling, with more space and less distortion. Make one darker and grittier, with stronger reversed movement and texture. And make one peak time version with a more obvious fake out or stop before the drop. Use the same original amen source for all 3, and make sure each version has a different last bar event. One reverse, one gap, one stutter or fill burst. Then listen back and ask yourself a simple question. Does this feel like a phrase, or just a loop? If you get that phrase shape right, the effect is huge. The listener will feel the groove tighten, the air pull back, and the drop arrive with extra force. That's the rewind-worthy moment. That's the one people remember. And that's exactly what this amen variation sequence is designed to deliver.